good to see you guys. Just want to let you know real quick, I've been dealing with bronchitis for the last couple of weeks. So the first two rows might get sprayed, you know, but other than that, I think we're going to be okay. No, but I'm going to do my best to try not to cough. Let's open and ask God's blessing this morning. So Lord, we just, how good it is to be with you and your people this morning. What a joy it is to be in the house of the Lord. No better place, Father, to sit under the word of God, to be encouraged when song and with your people. I praise you for that. Lord, I believe that you've given me a word for today. You've sat with me and you've spoke with me and taught me and shared with me your heart, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that it would be your heart that's spoken this morning. It may be your words that are spoken, your thoughts, Father. And I pray for each person here and for those listening online, Lord, that today would be a day that things change for them. Today would be a day where the banner is planted and the line is crossed and they're going to move forward. They're not going to shake and slip back, Father, but they're going to take a stand in faith. Lord, I pray that your word would go out and strengthen and fortify this body. And we ask your blessing now in all things. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, Brenda whispered over to me just before we got up. She says, Brian, you know, for the sake of time, he says, cut out some of your stories, you know. So what I figured out what I could do is if I cut out every other word, I could cut my sermon down in half. You know, it may sound a little choppy, but I think you guys can figure it out and go from there. All right, real quick, so we got to get through a couple of things here. So, you know, life is more complicated today. It is. When you take a look at everything around you, when I was a little boy, which is only just a couple years ago, my mom would say, hey, Brian, here's a dollar, and go get some milk. And it was pretty simple. Just go buy milk. And I'd go to the store, and I would just buy milk, right? And now, that's not the way it is today, is it, right? You ever look on the shelf just how many different milks there are? There's whole milk. There's 2%, 1%. There's soy milk. There's skim milk. There's lactose intolerant milk. There's hemp milk, goat milk. I personally like the rhino soy blend myself for my coffee. But there's a myriad of different types of milks that are out there. And same thing when you think about water. It used to be just you get water from the tap. But oh no, there's all these bottled waters out there today. And when you think about it, there's mineral water, and there's vitamin water, and there is volcanic water, and geyser water, and there's something, they call it hydrated water. Hydrated water? I like my water a little on a drier side, you know, not. But if you see where I'm going with this, it's all with the idea that today, America, and I think it's not just America, but the world is on a health craze. Everybody's looking to get fit. Everybody's looking to become more healthy, and so what are we doing? We're presenting all these different ways of doing that, and everybody's getting on board with that. Even if you take a look at the restaurants, fast food restaurants, you got McDonald's, you got Wendy's, you got Taco Bell, and they all have their healthy choice menus. They're you know, and then you have restaurants even are posting and showing you what your calorie intake is before you take. I don't know if that's too wise. You know, I take a look and say, oh, that's a 17,000 calorie burger. I don't know if I'm going to take that on, you know. But everybody's buying into becoming more healthy. And how many commercials do you see with Chuck Norris on it, right, where he's doing the Bowflex? This guy's like 85 years old, and he's still doing. How many different commercials are there? And how many times do you hear Planet Fitness on the radio or whatever cases, yes, for $10 a month, you too can look your best, you know. I got to tell you, it's real funny. Brent and I bought into this years ago. We actually did get a Planet Fitness membership, and I think we spent most of the time at the juice bar drinking peanut butter shakes. I think we spent $100 a week just in shakes. But really what it is, everybody's looking to become healthy. Everybody is buying into that. But here's the scary part of this whole thing. With all this workout equipment, with all the healthy choices that you see in the store and with all the restaurants and everything else, you want to hear something? 75% of Americans are overweight, they're obese, and they're out of shape. What? And then even though a statistic also said that only 5% of those actually participate in any kind of regular exercise each week. It's kind of scary, considering everything else, you know. But, of course, I'm not talking about anybody here at Reach Out. We all are looking good, and we're in good shape, and it's the people outside the doors. So why is it? So the question is, why is it that with all these health programs, with all these diets, and all these exercise equipment and everything else, that people are out of shape? Why is it that, you know, we're actually dealing with a crisis in America? Good question. I can tell you why. It all comes down to dealing with choices. It's all about the choices that we make. And isn't it true that we always find time to do the things that we really want to do? Right? Raise your hands if there's people here that like running at 5 a.m. in the morning. If you did, I'd call you a liar. I don't like running at 10 a.m. I don't like running, period, right? If I had a choice of riding my motorcycle or going running, I'm going to choose riding my motorcycle, right? And same thing with eating and stuff like that. You know, rice cakes and kale. Yes, I'm so looking forward to that. That's not my first go-to, right? It's all about the choices that we make. Let me tell you something. You know, God's looking for us to be healthy. You know, in fact, flip with me if you got your tablet, your Bible, your phone, wherever you are. Maybe you even have the whole Bible memorized. But 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, Paul's writing to a young pastor who used to be his young apprentice on his missionary journeys. And Timothy now is a young pastor. And he writes to him, and he says this. He says, physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and the life to come. He acknowledges and say that, yes, working out and training yourself, you know, for healthiness is a good thing, but training spiritually is what we're really talking about. Training for godliness is way better. It's for this life and the life to come. And let me tell you, really, at the core of this whole thing, what we're talking about here is we're talking about faith. We're talking about building faith. We're talking about strengthening your core. Faith is the foundation for everything that really matters spiritually. And can I tell you this? More important than your physical health, more important than your well-being, more important than your family or anything else this world has to offer, God's most concerned about your faith. Your faith is at the core of everything. It's foundational. Listen to some of these scriptures that I've put up on the board here, and there's a myriad of them. So we got Romans 12:3. It says, God has given each one of us a measure of faith. Ephesians chapter 2, we know that faith is a gift from God and that we're saved through faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. Literally, everything about us and our relationship with God and at the core is faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, that he is a rewarder to those who seek him. James 2, I don't have this up, James 2:23 says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. He believed God, and it was counted as righteousness. We are made right through faith. Faith in him, in Christ, faith in Christ. So it stands to reason that faith is God's number one concern. So back here, and looking back at 1 Timothy 4:8, so we know that physical training is good, but godliness is much better. But so here's the point that is right here. You know, physical training may be able to help you run a marathon, and it may be able to help you do push-ups. But when your back is against the wall and a crisis comes to your household, no physical strength is going to be able to carry you through. You know what's going to be able to carry you through? It's going to be your faith. It's going to be the condition. It's going to be your spiritual condition. It's going to be the healthiness of your faith that's going to carry you through when you're maybe dealing with a financial struggle, or maybe a loss of a job, or you're dealing with a struggle in your marriage. It's going to be the strength of your faith that's going to help you over that hurdle. Now, why am I bringing notice here? It says, let me go back one. Hebrews 11:1, it says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us the assurance about the things we cannot see. Faith is saying it's a done deal. It's there, without question in my mind, it's going to happen. I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know why, I can't process it, but I trust in something that I can't see that's greater than me, that he's going to make it happen. And interesting enough, you know, they did a survey of prisoner of war survivors, you know, people who've spent time in Korea or Vietnam or World War I, World War II, and that they've went through and they were able to in pretty much come out in pretty good condition. And you know what the most common theme was that kept them alive and kept them in good health? It was hope. Hope was the number one thing that kept them moving forward when so many people didn't survive. We need to have a hope that's unshakable. We need to have a hope that is so foundational and firm that no matter what is thrown our way, we're not knocked off our rocker. We can just keep going. Now, if you take a look at back in 1 Timothy 4:8, thank you. I underline. Notice it says training, and so you got to recognize right now that to become spiritually strong, to have your foundation of faith to be rock solid, it's training. And when we think of training, you know, it implies discipline, it implies work, it preparation. It's the idea that we're setting aside, we're stripping away, we're removing everything that will keep me from doing my best. When I'm training for a marathon, what am I doing? I am going to do everything in my power. I'm going to eat right. I'm going to sleep. I'm going to do the exercises. And I'm going to remove the distractions so that I can be my best. I can do my best. It's training. I like what Paul, when he talks, you notice a lot of times he's always talking, he's talking with athletes in mind. Boxer boxing, you know, and an Olympian or a runner running. And he says in 1 Corinthians, I don't have this up, it's 9:24, it says, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. So run to win, he says. And that's the idea that we're supposed to do here, is that we're not just supposed to get up and just like, okay, right? We get up with a purpose. We get up with a plan to win the race. I want you to think of it like the life that we have, that we're living here, like a race, like a marathon, and that we're kind of inscripted in like the army, or we're inscripted into the Olympics, and we're called to set aside the things and to train to be spiritual, to train for godliness. If you're in 1 Timothy 4, this is a fun one here. Now, if you're in Timothy 1, chapter 4, verse 8, go back to verse 7 for a second. It says here, do not waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Now, I'm not going to go down that road. That's one for another time, whatever. But here's the one I wanted to focus on, which is pretty cool. It says, instead, train yourself to be godly. Now, one of that word train, it's a Greek word, and I'm going to try to say it here. It says gymnazo, and it's actually almost spelled like gymnasium or gymnazo, right? And it's the idea, it means to exercise. But it's more than just to exercise. What it's saying here is it means to exercise naked. It means to practice naked, except as in the games. Right, if you ever realize or not that in the original games, the athletes would actually participate naked. You know, and this is where you get the idea that when Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, the classic verse, it says, therefore, let us cast off everything that would keep us from running our race. You see what I'm saying? So if by chance you happen to be driving in my neighborhood and you see something white streak across the grass, I'm just trying to be biblical. I'm just trying to follow what the Lord is leading me. No. But you know the visual. Oh, that's a visual that I'm really having a difficult wrapping around. But if we're training, if we're looking to grow spiritually, we need to remove the distractions. We need to remove everything that would hinder us from being our best, hinder us from running the race that we're called. And we're all running our own race. And we're all called to win. So I'm going to give you a word of the day today. The word is intentional. I want you to think of the word intentional and chew on that for a little bit. If you're looking to do any kind of training event, you need to be intentional about your training. If you're going to do a marathon, you're going to do a Spartan. The same way in our spiritual, think of it that we're in spiritual training, and your spiritual training is for life. This is not just for a one-time today. We need to be intentional in our spiritual walk. I like, there, you know, I don't know if anybody knows, there's a guy named Chip Ingram, and he does a talk. He's got a radio program, and if you can put that up for me, I really like what he says here. He says, in order for our beliefs and behaviors to align more as we grow to maturity, we must go into intentional spiritual training to grow our spiritual muscles. You can believe that church is good, and you can also believe that reading the Bible is good, but if you never go to church, and if you never read the Bible, it'd be like Brent and I joining Planet Fitness and just sitting there drinking peanut butter shakes all day long. It's going to be not, you. The key is that we need to be able to align our beliefs and our behaviors together. Then we're starting to work. If I'm going to look to work at my muscles and legs, and I'm just looking at my Stairmaster, nothing's going to happen. We need to be intentional with our spiritual walk. So to move along. Excuse me, I'm chewing on my candy here. God's got a program, which is pretty cool in the Bible, that we can all follow to help us in our spiritual training, our spiritual growth. So I want you to think of faith like a muscle. Really, and faith really primarily needs three things, okay? First thing it needs is diet. Diet is so critical. Anybody ever hear of the 70-30 rule? 70-30 rule in diet and exercising says that 70% of your health and fitness is based on what you eat. 70%, right? That's kind of, you know, it's a wake-up call for me, because I remember I was running with Rachel around my block, and I'm running 2 miles, and I'm going up down the hills and this and that. And I am dying. I'm about to puke my brains out, and I'm hurting, and things like that. And when I finished, you know, she calculated. It's like, okay, you burned 18 calories. What? 18 calories? A sleeve of Chippewas is got to be like 400 calories, right? So that half hour of me running just got flattened out by the Chipotle's that I just ate, right? But think of your diet as, in spiritual terms, what is it that you're taking in? And this is so, so key because it has everything to do with our faith and the building of our faith. Whatever is lovely, whatever is true, whatever is right, dwell on these things, right? And you've heard the expression, you are what you eat. Garbage in, garbage out. You can't be reading the Bible on Sunday and watching garbage on Monday and Tuesday. It's not going to happen. You know, you got to be careful with the stuff that's, it may not even be speaking foul language. By the way, Brent and I struggle these days to find decent shows where there's not F-bombs being dropped here and there. And it should be, and you said, oh, it's just a little bit. And I'm going to use this story again. Brent says, I've used it before, but I got to use it again, okay? There was a 10-year-old boy with his friends who were sitting in the living room. And he says, Dad, he says, excuse me, there's a really cool show on TV. We'd like to be able to watch it. Can we watch it? And he's like, well, what is it? He says, well, it's James Bond, and it's got some really cool action scenes and this and that. He says, so, but what's in there? Well, there's just a few little swear words and then just a couple little sex scenes in it. But, you know, other than that, he says, well, you know, he says, that's not good for you, right? So, you know, a little bit, you know, the father, you guys heard the story, comes out with a tray of brownies to the kids. And he says, hey, guys, I got some brownies for you. He says, just got just a little bit of dog poop in it, just a little bit, but it's not going to be, you know. That's how you have to look at it. Our spirits, we have the living God in us, a holy God, right? We don't want to fill it with junk. We need to be filling it with good stuff. We need to be in His Word, and we need to be intentional about His Word. Being intentional about His Word says that I know tomorrow I'm getting up in the morning, and I need to set that time aside. I love to see my wife. She is intentional every day without fail to read the Word because she knows she needs it. She knows it's good for her, and she knows the ramifications if she's not in it. That's the way we need to see it as it's life or death. No other way around it, right? But what I want to do is I want to encourage you to take it farther. Now, first of all, let me just say, you know, I think that devotionals are fantastic. I mean, I want everybody to hear me. Devotionals are fantastic. But what I want to encourage you is to take your training to the next level. Because, you see, devotionals is somebody else has already did all the work. Somebody else took the time to put that plan together, to assemble. They're the ones seeking God. They're the ones that are digging in deeper so that they can bring a nice little package for you. I want to encourage each one of you guys to go deeper. And that may be maybe in your own time. I mean, devotion, I read devotions, times where I'm just tired, I don't feel like going deep. I get that. But within our Christian walk, we're not called to stay complacent and stay where we are. We're called to continue the upward call. We're called to go deeper. You know, when we're working out, it can't be that it's 10 pounds our whole life. It's got to be a point where you start raising the bar. God wants to take us from here to here. How does that happen? What's interesting is it is a group effort, all right? God's going to do His part, but truth is, most of the hard work's on us, right? And if you really want to go places, you see a person say, wow, I really want to be like him. What do you think Carl's doing all week long? He's in the Word. I'm going to use him because he's right here and I can point to him. You hear what I'm saying? Taking it to the next level, maybe it's you're doing your own personal study. Or how about doing a group study? How about leading a Bible study? If you want to go even further, how about taking and doing a talk? Want to take it even further? How about preaching a sermon? One of the reasons why I say, yeah, when Carl comes to me and says, hey, Brian, you want to you want to take and preach on such and such. And I got a zillion things going on, but I say, yes, yes. Why? Because I know it's good for me. I'm the one, believe it or not, who's going to get the most out of this sermon because I've spent weeks on my knees seeking the Lord. He's taken me places and making his word known to me in so many exciting ways that I grow extensively from that. I'm not saying that everybody here is going to get up and preach someday, but it's the point of it is to go deeper in the word, right? Dig deeper, and I'm telling you, you won't be disappointed when you mine out the treasures. God will reward you with so many great things. We'll try to get through a couple of these here. So watch your caloric intake, okay? Be in the word. Second thing that, you know, we got diet, we have exercise. So the fact is, James even speaks of it, faith without works is dead. We need to be exercising the things that we believe and read. We have to be in it, right? And there's so many different ways. I'm not going to get long-winded on this part. There's so many different ways to be exercising your faith. You know, you may see a brother that needs prayer, going up and saying, hey, I'm going to go and be bold and pray for that person. How about just praying specifically? You know, Brenda's mom, Sue, years ago, she was so afraid to even pray at the dinner table. To be able, and it's the truth. She was like, oh, no, Brian, you pray. I can't pray like that. She's a prayer warrior now. She's on Thursdays because she's taken it further. She's growing her faith, right? Faith is needs to be exercised. It needs to be worked out. That's God's plan. You've heard, you know, the term use it or lose it, right? If you don't exercise your muscles, they're going to atrophy. They're going to waste away. And it's the same thing with our faith. God gives us a measure of faith, but, you know, it's not God's job to fully grow it. It's our job. He's going to give us faith. He's going to do his part in it. But he's calling us to exercise. Remember, we read in First Timothy, you know, training for godliness. You know, it's a part that we have to do. You know, one of the things that, you know, about faith, you know, is that faith is exercised through testing. I know Carl a couple weeks ago talked about that being in a desert, whatever cases, and I can tell you that this is so true that your faith needs to be tried. It needs to be worked. It needs to be stretched. It needs to be almost to a point of exhaustion. And to give you an example, you know, when you're working out, do you know what the most important part of the exercise is? It's the last one. It's the one that you cannot lift up. You need to do is you need to be exercising basically almost to a point of failure. That's that last one that does the job. It's not the first one. It's like, oh, we're doing good, right? God wants to exercise our muscles, so he brings us to a place where we can be proved, we can be tried, we can be tested. James 1, 2 to 4 says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles, which I say trials, struggles, adversities, whatever you call them, come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing. There's no half and half in my coffee. Lord, how long must I endure this trial? That's not struggles, okay? You guys all know what struggles and trials are, but that's not one of them. I find the greatest opportunity to grow our faith is in the storms. By the way, you know, when you look at that, you know, when you're testing when it's been made and endured, you're complete, needing nothing. You're, in a sense, he uses the word perfect. I believe, in my humble opinion, that we can come to a place in our Christian walk where we can be perfect in certain areas. I'm not saying that we're perfect. There's no one perfect but God. But through through the testing and the building of our faith, we can come to a point of our walk with Christ where I'm no longer impatient. I'm no longer bothered by, come on, that all you got? Bring it. I can sit here. I can do this all day, right? I believe that God is, he's looking to perfect us. He's looking to work in us. He's looking to build our faith, and he does it by sending trials and tribulations so that way we can become more like Christ. That's our, the goal is to become more like him. What, when is this over? 12? 1? All right, so I got to get, you know, time is getting short, right? What, we got 5 minutes, 2 minutes? All right. Darn it, so much to do. So much time and so little time. We're going to make a real quick story. And this is, let me just read through. I'll give you a quick analogy on it. This is found in Luke chapter 8, verses 22 to 24. It's talking about Jesus and the storm. Let me read through, give you a quick little bite through it. So it says, one day, just verse 22, one day Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they got into the boat and started out. And as they sailed across, Jesus settled down for a nap. But soon a fierce storm came down in the lake. The boat was filling with water, and they were in real danger. Disciples went and woke him, shouting, Master, Master, we're going to drown. When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and suddenly the storm stopped and was all calm. Then he asked them, where is your faith? Disciples were terrified and amazed. Who is this man that he asked each that they asked each other? When he gives a command, even the wind and waves obey him. Mark, Luke, and Matthew all have this same story. What I like about what's here in Luke that I wanted to really kind of hone in on, it's what Jesus said in the beginning. He says, let's cross to the other side. You see, Jesus had a point, and he was planning on going to the other side. And do you think that, you know, it's like, oh, a storm's coming. What should I do? You think he was caught by it? No. Jesus knew the storm was coming. You got, right? Question this morning is, if you're dealing with a few things, do you believe what God says at his word? Do you believe if he says we're going to go to the other side, do you trust him at his word? Right? I got to finish this up. I got to close this in here. We're not going to be able to get to the third one. You'll just have to, save it for another time. But where I want to go with this is the fact is that, you know, faith is key for everything about our life here on this earth. Some of you here might be dealing with certain types of struggles. You might be dealing with a question of your faith when it comes to finances. It might be a question of, your marriage or whatever. But let me ask you, here's a really cool way of looking at this here. How many people here believe that by his word, God spoke creation into being? Do you guys all believe that? Yeah, by his word. How many here believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose to life on the third day? Right? Well, if you believe that, why are you struggling to believe that he can't heal your marriage? You can believe creation, that he did all that, but yet you're struggling over in this area that you're dealing with. See, that's a faith problem, right? If you believe that he rose Christ from the dead on the third day, why were you struggling to believe that he can't provide for you for your finances? See, it comes down to building faith. And by the way, it's not how much faith you have. You know, one of the disciples said, oh, help us to increase our faith. He says, look at you. He says, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you'll be able to move mountains. It's not how much faith, it's how strong your faith is, right? It's by exercise, it's by diet, I'm going to give you the last one because I can't leave you hanging, okay? And it's rest, right? Your muscles have to be worked out, but they have to rest. Are you resting on his promises this morning? There's some 8,800 promises in the Bible, right? There's got to be one that's for you, right? Are you resting in his promises this morning? See, rest is actually a faith action. That I am not going to worry. I'm not going to stay up at night. Bible says, why do we stay up late at night working to all hours? For he gives rest to those that he loves. There's so much more I want to share, but listen, thank you so much for your time today. If you're struggling in an area of your faith, I would like to pray with you. Okay? And you can see me afterwards, whatever cases. But I'm going to tell you, if you're dealing with a sin in your life, if you're dealing with something like that, I would tell you, start it by looking at faith. Maybe you're struggling in a faith area, which also has a direct connection with areas that you might be struggling with. Let me close in prayer. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word, the truth of your word. We praise you for that. Lord, I thank you that you are doing a work. I know you're doing a work in me, Lord, and I know sometimes it's painful, but I know it's good for me. And I know you're moving me from glory to glory, growing me. And Lord, I pray that you'd never stop. I pray, Father, that, you know, you just watch what you pray for, because it may come true. But I thank you for the testing. I thank you for the trials, because I know that you love me so much that you don't want me to stay the way that I am, but you want me to grow more. You want me to go deeper and farther. Thank you for that, Father. Thank you for each person here. Father, we pray that you would give them power and strength as they go about their week. Father, I pray that you would stretch them, exercise their faith, and help them, Father, to rest on your promises. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.